This Jive Time show is in association with Eclipse Cinemas Lyford, Strabane and Bundoran. Visit the Director's Lounge for the ultimate cinematic experience. Book now at eclipsecinemas.com.
Live, on air, online and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal County Council has passed its 2024 budget. The Dáil has heard how a Donegal man's life was destroyed by failings by Tusla after being falsely accused of abusing his son and daughter. A protest was held outside Letterkenny University Hospital today in a bid to end the HSE moratorium on recruitment. And the steering committee of the British-Irish Parliamentary Assembly has apologised over a drafting error which led to allegations that some ambulances from Northern Ireland were unable to cross the border into Donegal in wake of the Crisla tragedy. These stories in full, plus more to come. Oisin Kelly will be live with all the latest in sport around 5:15. First in news, Donegal County Council has passed its budget for the budget 2024 with support from all parties but opposition from Councillor Micheál Colum McGillagh-Asbug. It will see the council spend €185.5 million, a 5.7% increase on what its 2023 spending. Cathaoirleach Councillor Martin Harley says it's a progressive budget which will ensure Donegal continues to grow.
There was very little complaints about the budget, but all groupings were very happy with the budget, very positive on it, very positive all the work that's been done within the council. Again, I suppose for the business sector, relief today that the business rates will stay the same for 2024. So that's good, and when you think of a pound, that's 6 years in a row now, the rates for businesses has gone up, but a euro 6 years ago and a euro today is worth a lot less, unfortunately, with the way the increases have gone. So it's great that the council can operate and still run all the services they do run, and actually running more services than they did 6 years ago.
However, the Chief Executive did warn that that rate freeze won't continue, and he anticipates a conversation being had in 2024 with a view towards increases into 2025.
That is correct. Yeah, and it's something we talked about earlier this year as well. Even as on the day that I became mayor, we had the conversation with the Chief Executive about the rates for businesses, especially after coming out of COVID as well. And then plus the fact that we had a revaluation this year as well, that was probably a positive for 70% of businesses that are probably paying less in 2024 than they were in 2023. But we have to be very aware of going forward that there will have to be some changes made. The regeneration, like we took out a loan of $37 million over the last number of years now to help the regeneration project within towns, which we have to put up 25% of co-funding. The latest projects now have been cut back to 10% co-funding. So I would like to revisit that with Minister Heather Humphreys and say that the project that we got in the past number of years, that if we could cut back to 10% as well going forward, then that would make a massive difference for our budget for the next couple of years.
The Dáil has heard how a Donegal man's life was destroyed by failings by Tusla after being falsely accused of abusing his son and daughter. Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty raised the case of William Porter this morning and claims Tusla seemingly fabricated the allegations, including the recording of a false confession, which was only brought to the attention of Mr. Porter through a Freedom of Information request. Mr. Porter is said to have developed significant health problems due to the stress caused by the false accusations dating back to 2010. Tusla has since apologised and Mr. Porter is now living with both his children. Deputy Doherty says no other family should end up in the same position.
William's family have lived on either side of the border at times, and as such they've been failed by both the services in this jurisdiction and indeed in the north. Partly because of Tusla's action, the matter is still not resolved in the north. So Minister, we need to do better in future, and we need to ensure that this ordeal that William and his family have gone through is not repeated by another family. William asked me to put these issues on the public record. His life has been destroyed as a result of it. It is a state agency, and I make the point, and I understand because of the seriousness of what I'm saying. These records were on his file, a record which he only found out by chance that he put a Freedom of Information request in, that a Tusla official had said that he admitted to abusing his child. That record has now been deleted, an apology given, compensation paid to his daughter as a result of this. But this family was destroyed. And I want to commend some of the officials in Tusla that I worked with when I met William many years later. And I seen what I believed was a person who was genuinely broken as a result of this. And when I reached out to Tuusula, Tuusula did facilitate a process. It took some time, a process where we got to this, where apologies have been given, where wrongs have been righted, where files have now been deleted and the record has been corrected. But this should never have happened, and the consequences on this family are long-lasting. So I would ask you, Minister, maybe it's an opportunity for you, on behalf of Tuusula as the Minister, to echo that apology to William and his family.
The Minister for Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth, Rodrigo Gorman, says government is seeking an urgent report from Tuusula on the matter.
First of all, I want to thank you for raising this really, really important issue and outlining in detail the implications for this family of the incorrect and the wrong allegations that were made against them. And I also want to thank you for, recognising that Tuusula has made an apology here. We have, since you raised this topical with us yesterday, we have been in touch with Tuusula. My department have raised it with Tuusula's Chief Operations Officer. We're requesting an urgent report, an urgent detail on this matter, and we're very happy to engage with yourself further on this particular point.
The chanting of End the Freeze and the blowing of car horns was heard outside Letterkenny University Hospital today as clerical staff protested the HSE moratorium on recruitment. The crowd held posters saying support the workers and waved Forza flags as they walked around the hospital walls. Branch chair of the Donegal and Health and Welfare Division and former ward cleric Anne-Marie Boyle says critical roles are being underestimated by government.
I mean, the last time we had something like this, there was no career progression or anything for quite a number of years, maybe 8 to 10 years, before any clerical admin staff could have any career progression. And now the freeze is on again, not through our fault. Our cohort staff is stretched as it is, and with retirements and long-term sick leave or anything else, they're not filling positions, so that puts extra pressure on the services for the patients and for the staff that's expected to carry on and do the work.
And do you think government understand exactly what goes into the clerical roles and the role that they play within health services?
I don't think they do. I don't honestly think they do. Apart, I know from working previously as a ward clerk on the wards, you're a vital part of that team, multidisciplinary team, and you're there. You're the first point of contact for all patients, for their families, and for all staff coming to the wards. And you have so much paperwork to do, making sure appointments get out. If we can't get appointments, we're making sure we're sent on to our colleagues in down in outpatients for overbookings and things, and they're short-staffed in that department that's down Scally Place. Just everybody is so stressed.
ANTU representative and chairperson of the Letterkenny Hospital Campaign Group, Mary T. Sweeney, says the realities must be faced of the consequences of this recruitment freeze.
Well, the reality is, it's what's going to happen if the staff that are clerical are going to be told that they'll not be replaced if they're out and sick. What's going to happen to the caseload for the patients? Who's going to look about the referral letters? Who's going to be looking to see what patient has been seen or has not been seen or has a report back from one of the clinics in the north that people are attending or from a clinic in Dublin? How long is that going to have an adverse effect on the patients again? This is ridiculous. It cannot happen, and there has to be a better system in place.
The steering committee of the British-Irish Parliamentary Assembly has apologised over a drafting error which led to allegations that some ambulances from Northern Ireland were unable to cross the border into Donegal in the wake of the Crisla tragedy. An updated Ellen Butler has more.
The committee has clarified that at a sitting in October this year, claims were made that individuals were said not to have been able to attend the site of the Crisla tragedy as the appropriate visas were not held. As a result of a drafting error, the paragraph referred to ambulances not attending instead of paramedics. The British-Irish Parliamentary Assembly's Committee on Sovereign Matters has updated its report to correct the error and to acknowledge a statement from the Northern Ireland Ambulance Service that its response to the tragedy was not affected in any way by border border or visa issues. It confirmed in presenting the report to the Assembly and in subsequent media interviews, the chair of the committee, Senator Eimear Curry, reflected in good faith the content of the report, as did subsequent media reports. The committee has apologised for any confusion and has again extended its sincere thanks and appreciation to the ambulance services and other emergency services which attended the Chrysler tragedy.
There were sharp exchanges in the Dáil as politicians debated a motion on immigration this afternoon. It was put forward by the Rural Independence Group, and it's the first time this Dáil has formally debated the issue. Almost 12,000 international protection applicants have arrived here this year, with 361 asylum seekers arriving last week. Independent TD Michael Collins claims the government has made too many mistakes regarding the international protection system.
We all know that recent statements by the Taoiseach, where he says we should slow the flow, is coming too late. But the massive majority here know in this country that the slowing of the flowing should have started last year. Our government have made shocking mistakes by opening our doors to everyone and anyone, especially to those non-documented. This has led to genuine fear throughout our island.
Kerry TD Michael Healy-Ray says there needs to be a thorough debate on immigration and the impact it has on housing and health. He questioned why Ireland is chosen by those seeking asylum.
How is it that young, healthy people will jump all across Europe and they'll come from everywhere to land in Ireland rather than going somewhere else first? They have to pass an awful lot of places to come to Ireland, quite simply because what's on offer in Ireland is better than anywhere else.
Well, Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle said the motion has racist motives and is not something he agrees with.
It's clear to me that this motion has malicious intentions. I see no other purpose here than to stir up the hate and division in this country. A shameful and reprehensible pursuit that the Rural Independent Group have been engaging in for a while now. It has gone on far too long and it does need to be called out. I would like to highlight the fact that there is a racist element of this motion. The first two lines highlight the fact that the motion relates to non-Ukrainian international protection accommodation services. To highlight that the group does not have issue with Ukrainian migrants, their accommodation or the money being spent on them, which undermines their argument that this motion is about the lack of accommodation and the stretch of our resources, and not about race. I find it interesting that one of the concerns highlighted in this motion is the findings of the Ombudsman for Children's Special Report on the safety and welfare of children in direct provision. Given that not a single one of the six Rural Independent TDs showed up to the motion brought forward on this report last Thursday evening, in which the Ombudsman was present, it is evident that the group don't actually care about the welfare of children in direct provision and are shamefully using this in the motion as a cover for their anti-immigration arguments. You are not nobly addressing people's fears by tabling this motion. You are facilitating those who are causing hurt and fear in our communities, demonstrated clearly by the very last line of the motion. I will not be supporting this motion, and I hope you're hanging heads in shame at the division you are causing in this country by putting this forward.
Well, the time is 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break and Oisin Kelly will be back with all the latest in sport. It is 16 minutes past five. We're going to Oisin Kelly for all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We start with Gaelic Games, and the GAA today published its master fixture list for next year. Jim McGuinness's first league game in charge will be at home to Cork and Ballybuffet on Sunday the 20th of January. McCool Park will host two of the four home games, with Meath the visitors in the final round on Saturday the 23rd of March. Letterkenny will host the Fermanagh game on Sunday the 17th of February, and Donegal's clash with Louth on Sunday the 3rd of March will be on the new pitch at Ballytierney Park in Ballyshannon. Donegal's three away games are Cavan on the 4th of February, Armagh the 25th of February, and Kildare on Saturday the 16th of March. That game will be played at Cullen Park in Carlow, as Newbridge is not available. In Division 1, Mickey Hart's first league game in charge will be against Kerry down in Tralee on the opening night, Saturday the 27th of January, while Tyrone will start at home to Roscommon in Omagh. Hearts Derry will host his native county Tyrone in round two on Saturday the 4th of February with the big derby at Celtic Park. Donegal's Ulster Championship clash with Derry has been fixed for Saturday the 20th of April, and Tyrone's Championship quarter-final with either Monaghan or Cavan will be played on Sunday the 21st of April. The Ulster football final is penciled in for Sunday the 12th of May, with the All-Ireland football final scheduled for Sunday the 28th of July. Donegal, Derry and Tyrone are all in Division 2B of the Hurling League next year. Donegal begin in Aughrim against Wicklow, while Tyrone will make the short trip to Celtic Park to face Derry on the opening weekend. The opening round of Nicky Rackard and Krusty Ring Championship hurling games will be played on the weekend of the 13th and 14th of April. You can view the full fixture schedule for next year. That's the inter-county schedule. It's available now in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Well, looking ahead to 2025, the Alliance Hurling Leagues is set for a major shake-up. Seven teams will compete for the league title in Division 1A, with seven teams also competing in Divisions 1B, 2, 3 and 4. The top three in next year's Division 1's A and B will qualify for the top flight in 2025, with the fourth place team with the best record joining them. From 2025, the bottom two in Division 1A will be relegated and replaced by Division 1B's top two. Cross-channel football, there are six games tonight in the Premier League, four of which kick off at 7:30. Second place Liverpool are away to Sheffield United. Republic of Ireland international Kevin Kelleher will start in goal for the Reds in that game. Chris Wilder is back in charge, of course, at Sheffield United at Bramall Lane as he replaces the Paul Heckenbottom, who was sacked earlier in the week. And the other games which start at 7:30, Brighton play Brentford, Crystal Palace take on Bournemouth, and Fulham meet Nottingham Forest. There are two games which start at 8:15. Champions Manchester City go to Aston Villa, who are bidding for a 14th straight home league win. Rodri is suspended in that game. And at Old Trafford, Manchester United take on Chelsea. United are in the headlines over stories off an upset dressing room with manager Erik ten Hag, but the Dutchman feels his team are going in the right direction.
You can see the players are behind it because of the performances against Everton, Galatasaray. We are on the journey, on the route. We know we are still in transition. We are not robots. And if you play three games in 6 days, tough games, by the end, fatigue can be an issue, can never be an excuse, but it's there.
Up in Scotland, leaders Celtic meet Hibernian at Parkhead at 7:45. Celtic have an 8-point lead over second-placed Rangers, who are away to Hearts from 8 o'clock. And just back into the Premier League, Tottenham goalkeeper Fraser Forrester has signed a contract extension until 2025. The 35-year-old England international has played 21 times for the North Londoners since his move from Southampton last summer. The draws have been made for the fifth round of the Irish Cup. Crusaders, who are aiming for a hat-trick of titles, will begin the defence of the cup at home to Ards. Kilrain meet Cliftonville in a repeat of the 2018 final at the Showgrounds, and that's the only all-Premiership game in the fifth round. Premiership champions Larne travel to Harlem and Wolf Welders, while current league leaders Linfield will play Warren Point. Elsewhere, Strabane Athletic will go to Ballyclare Comrades. Derrickview are also on the road at Bangor, and Institute will welcome Crumlin Star. Those games will be played on the weekend of the 6th of January. In motorsport, William Creighton won the Manly Trophy as the International Driver of the Year at the annual Irish Motorsport Awards in Dublin today. Creighton won the award as voted by the members of the Irish Motorsport Press, having become the first junior WRC victor Ireland has produced since the late Craig Breen's WRC Academy win back in 2011. Breen, who passed away earlier this year in a testing accident in Croatia, was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Meanwhile, 19-year-old Jack Brennan from Kilkenny won the Motorsport Ireland's Billy Coleman Young Rally Driver of the Year award, and 20-year-old Jack Byrne won the Sexton Trophy as the Young Racing Driver of 2023. Finally, in golf, the sports governing bodies has announced changes to the rules about ball specifications to reduce the distance they travel. The RNA and the USGA say the new guidance will take place from 2028, to lessen the impact increased hitting distances have on the sport's long-term sustainability. It will come into force in elite tournaments, most notably the Open Championship and the US Open. And that's your sport for today. Donna Marie will have more tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thanks, Oisin. The Community Links officer for the Donegal Intercultural Platform says people should blame the government rather than immigrants for the housing crisis. This week, the Department of Integration said it cannot provide accommodation to all international protection applicants. Instead, people will be offered tents and sleeping bags due to a severe shortage of housing. Balumi Dube, speaking on today's 9 till noon show, believes the government could have measures previously to deal with the high volume of people in direct provision.
It's preposterous. I mean, it's unacceptable that people should be living on the street. The Irish government has got a duty to take care of people that are seeking international protection and people that are Irish, because I also feel this has got a potential of putting local people, Irish people, and international protection applicants at loggerheads. But the actual person to blame here is the government. That's just not providing housing for everyone. The government has always been aware as early as 2018 that there was a shortage of housing, particularly for asylum seekers, you know. So this is not new. This is something that has always been known. Unfortunately, of course, we have to accept that there's a huge number of international applicants, but this could all have been sorted much earlier. In 2018, the government knew that there was high volumes of people in direct provision and that there was not enough housing. And they could have been proactive and actually done something about it.
Three Donegal centres for adults with disabilities are found totally compliant, according to HICWA reports published today. Chac Inis Free, Inis Only and Chac Inis Hall were inspected in September of this year. Each of the centres had four residents on site at the time of inspection and they had a short notice period. Links to the reports can be found on our website, highlandradio.com. TikTok has announced its top creators, trends and songs among Irish users for 2023, which features a Donegal man. This year's list features well-loved trends such as the Roman Empire, Girl Dinner, Boy Dinner and Beige Flag, Red Flag, Green Flag. A number of breakthrough stars have also been recognised, including Here We Go Again singer Shanice Griffin and Squid Game's The Challenge star Eric Roberts. Following his appearance on the Netflix show, Eric spoke to Greg Hughes last week about his decision to step away from his day job and pursue social media full time.
Yeah, I mean, it's been an incredible year. It's filled with opportunities that I didn't really expect, to be honest, when I did step away from work. But I was busy enough online that decision was sort of made for me, and I've just been really enjoying the process since. Now, to be fair, I didn't think it was going to go as well as it has, so I'm terrified I might have peaked a bit early. So hopefully I continue to keep getting these kind of opportunities.
Looking now to the weather for today. A status yellow wind warning has been issued for Donegal. Met Éireann says it will be windy for a time, with southeast winds gusting up to 100 kilometres per hour in some areas. Motorists are advised to expect difficult travelling conditions as a result and be on high alert for fallen branches and weakened trees. The alert remains in place until 8 p.m. this evening. Tonight will start then with further rain but will become drier later in the night. Lowest temperatures of 5 to 8 degrees in light to moderate south to southeast wind, freshening west later. To conclude this evening's headlines, Donegal County Council has passed its 2024 budget. The Dáil has heard how a Donegal man's life was destroyed by failings of Tusla after being falsely accused for abusing his son and daughter. A protest was held today outside Letterkenny University Hospital in a bid to end the HSC moratorium on recruitment. And the steering committee of the British-Irish Parliamentary Assembly has apologised over a drafting error which led to allegations that some ambulances from Northern Ireland were unable to cross the border in the wake of the Craigslist tragedy. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back again at 6 o'clock. In the meantime, keep up to date with the latest local news on our website, highlandradio.com. Good evening. The obituary notices this Wednesday evening, December 6th. The death has taken place of Nicky Hanlon, Swilly Park, Remelton. Remains reposing at the residence of his daughter Sally and Shawnee Mooney, Castle Street, Remelton. Funeral Mass on Friday morning at 10 a.m. in St Mary's Church, Remelton. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. Family time on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to Remelton Community Hospital, care of any family member or Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Margaret Patton, née Beauvaird, Midcut, Drumkeen. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral leaving from there tomorrow afternoon at 12:15 for 1 p.m. Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Drumkeen, followed by burial in the family plot in the adjoining graveyard. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to the Donegal Hospice care of any family member or Terence McClintock Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Jim Douglas, 19 Drummony Road, Burndennet, and formerly of Glasgow, reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home tomorrow morning at 9:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church Clockcar at 10 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers please to Cancer Research UK, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time from 10 p.m. tonight. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.